Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 106, Star Wars Rebels, Season 1, Episode 1, Spark of Rebellion, Part 1. So, for this week's episode, Star Wars Rebels finally premiered for everybody on television the week before it premiered online on Disney XD. I think it was available via their app as well, so you could check it out if you install the app. I don't know about the cable subscription side of things, but it was available online to whatever extent. But it finally released to wide viewership, so definitely worth checking out. So I'll get to that in a little bit. But I thought I'd make my usual insights for it. Not too much, but a few bits of interest as far as the show goes. As far as I know, it's normally going to be a half an hour show, but it was a extra long premiere, hour long, or technically without commercials, about 40 to 45 minutes, so your usual hour long premiere. But with that, I will jump right into the introduction and get right through the episode. So the initial or the season premiere of Star Wars Rebels released in the or aired in the United States on October 3rd, 2014. This is television air date. The week before was the internet air date or release. Synopsis of the show is that a brave and clever ragtag starship crew stands up against the evil Empire as it tightens its grip on the galaxy and hunts down the last of the Jedi Knights. So basically this show is supposed to be taking place between Star Wars Episode 3 and Episode 4. So along the lines of the rebellion hasn't been quite born yet, but we start to see the seeds of the rebellion, and the Empire still has its grip, and we're going to see more of how the Empire is tightening its grip in the Empire. The synopsis of this particular episode, though, is Ezra is a normal boy who finds himself caught up in the beginning of the rebellion against the Empire. So, a few weeks ago, I did the review of Star Wars Rebels, the novel, so we got to see how the crew got itself together. So, Kanan, Hera, and Sabine, and then we see an additional character as well, but the series starts off with the crew already having worked together and how Ezra comes into their fold. So I'll have a link to the official website, the IMDb profile, and the Wikipedia page so you can get all sorts of great information. There's a Disney XD page, but I think it's sort of, or more or less, to its various differences, mimics what the Star Wars site is. So I didn't exactly include that. I wanted more of the overview sites, but that's available as well if you want to check that out, in addition to all the other sites that are available. So with that, I'll jump right into the insights for this particular episode. So to start it off, I found that Stormtrooper punishment is most severe. So this comes into or ties directly into my only negative for the episode, but to the whole meme of Stormtroopers having no aim, and I find that Stormtroopers, especially in this episode, only really have their power if they're not being directly attacked. So if they're the ones in control and no one's actually shooting that at them or trying to steal from them, then they are able to get away with everything and actually cause some damage. But as soon as someone starts firing back or attacking them, everything falls apart and they're basically just dead or knocked out and otherwise incapacitated. So it's kind of like a further explanation of how bad they are in the original trilogy, and it's basically attacking them causes utter confusion, but if no one's attacking them, then it's all good. But throughout the episode, especially after we see the introduction of Ezra, something was bothering me throughout the episode, and I finally figured out that he might be the long-lost son of Obi-Wan and Satine. So if you watched Star Wars, The Clone Wars, the second series, we got to know about Obi-Wan's past relationship with Satine. I don't think they actually covered having a son, but they kind of, in general, kept the whole relationship under wraps. And from the generalizations about this particular series, I would imagine that he's a young kid and he's probably an early teenager as far as Ezra is concerned. And he has a general look and feel and sadness and hope and general abilities that I would find Obi-Wan to have. And with his later revelation in the episode, or probably midway through the episode, it kind of makes sense. But at the moment, based on what we know about him, he actually also kind of has the abilities of Satine. So to me, that's kind of the impression I got from him, and it kind of makes sense. He does have those traits and characteristics and the general want and need to help others, but also be as rational as possible. And finally, to round out the episode, if you're a fan of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I've been watching it and I kind of enjoy it. Well, the summary of this initial episode, I got to thinking that it would actually be an interesting offshoot, or at least an interesting in-show story arc, to have something along the lines of Inquisitors, Agents of the Empire, which I'm guessing it seems like we're going to have something along those lines, where we get to see the inner workings of the Empire, how they enforce the rule of law, how the Emperor actually knows everything he knows and always knows it from every corner of the Empire. So it actually works itself out. It does seem like it would be a very interesting storyline, and wouldn't mind it at all if we have it along the lines of an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of thing, where we see the regular, maybe not the full day-to-day lives of the Inquisitors, but basically how they go about their business, how they accomplish their missions, how they report to the Emperor, and all of that good stuff. So I actually am glad I also to see how that was worked into the show, especially with the previews that I saw online before the show started. So I summarize the season premiere of Star Wars Rebels as the Catch-22 special is the Order 66 for the Rebels. So I guess the premiere also sort of starts off the storyline for how the Inquisitors and Kanan are going to meet up with each other, or at least have that kind of drama with each other. But this is actually one of the positives for the show, is how he revealed himself to the Empire. If you read the novel, then you knew that he was a former Jedi Knight, and you get that full-on backstory. But I liked how they revealed it in the storyline, and Ezra's surprised that Kanan actually having these abilities. So I actually can't wait to see how it's integrated more into the storyline. And I'm glad that they presented it as it being a special case scenario for him to use his abilities, or his Jedi abilities. He uses his other abilities as far as getting in and out of trouble, using a blaster and all of that stuff to hide his abilities. But now that the cat's out of the bag with the Inquisitors, it's actually something that I can't wait to see more of, and how they present it in the overall story. So I give the episode a real score of a 95%, because I like how they presented Kanan's relationship with the crew, that he's torn between wanting to do the right thing and remaining hidden for as long as possible, but it's getting harder and harder to do that, especially since the crew that he's working with wants to do the right thing. So it's a matter of thinking it through properly and getting things done the right way. And then the other positive, as I said earlier, is Kanan's secret revelation that he is a Jedi, or a former Jedi. So if you haven't read the novel, it comes as a nice surprise, but it is not a true end revelation for this episode. It's something worth checking out to see. But I like that they presented it in a way where it's something that he doesn't want to do, but because he's doing it for the right reasons and for for a specific mission that calls for it, I actually like that presentation. And then Ezra's personality is kind of like a mix between, as I said, Obi-Wan and Satine, and not quite Obi-Wan and Anakin, because he isn't a Jedi Knight. But you see that mix where it could be one of those, he could be one of those characters where he is a son of Obi-Wan and Satine, so you get a mix of both traits, a mix of both worlds, so it works itself out. And so I give the episode a 95% only because the one negative is that, as I mentioned as the insight, that the stormtroopers only have power when they're not being attacked, so when they're the ones stealing from people, when they're attacking and being on the offensive, everything works out. But when they start being defensive, they have basically no shot, no aim, no power at all. And so while it reconciles with how their meme of in the original trilogy, it actually takes away from them actually having any power. So it makes me wonder how they're able, or what the Empire training actually involves as far as passing the academy through in the or passing the Empire test to become a stormtrooper. But that is really all that there is for this particular episode. I actually recommend watching at least the premiere. It looks like it can do very well, especially on the heels of Star Wars: The Clone Wars. So we have more of the backstory with the Clone Wars stories. Now we get to see more of the original trilogy and the rise of the rebellion. So it's actually worth checking out, I think, so far. So I'll keep watching it, and I hope you do too. As at least check out the first couple of episodes. I think the second episode for the series is Spark of Rebellion Part 2, so at least watching the initial two episodes to get a good gauge of it. But I like the animations, I like the storylines, and I do also recommend reading the novel if you want more of the backstory, more of the crew's origin story and their struggles and how they got together. But that is all for this particular episode. Before I close it out, I did want to mention, if you follow me on Twitter, Google+, or Facebook, or at least Real Insight, you'll know that Real Insights Year 1 and Year 2 are back in the Kindle ebook store. I had to make a couple of revisions as far as some of the content, but for the bulk of it, it is the same. In summary, or in short, I removed the taglines and summaries from Year 2. The initial, or Year 1, was basically okay, but I wanted to have them generally match as far as that goes. So there are still links to the IMDb, Wikipedia, and any other related links as far as that goes, but actually spelling it out for taglines and summaries are removed. So just that bit of clarification, but they are there as well. And also, if you have checked out Real Digest, I didn't really promote it, but it was in beta. I've stopped doing that due to timing issues, and basically that's about it. I mean, I knew you had the four. Everything else was fine, and the back end was up there, but the time frame and the time it took to do it was more than I have time to do. So I'll restart it maybe sometime in the future in a different way, but as far as it goes right now, it's on hold, so there's that bit of update. If you want to get in touch with me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter and get all my latest updates at PatelN01. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can check out Real Insights Year 1 and 2 and all of my other ebooks at author.patelN01.com. You can also find this show and more shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.com. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.